Welcome to this edition of Inside the Brand After Dark. Inside the Brand After Dark is sponsored by EuroRSCG. I'm your host, Dennis Troianos, and today I'm delighted to be talking to a man who I've known for much of my career, Jim Spiros, the Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Fidelity Investments. Fidelity Investments is the largest mutual fund company in the United States. It's also the number one provider of workplace retirement savings plans and the largest mutual fund supermarket in the U.S. Last but not least, Fidelity is, of course, a leading online brokerage firm as well as a provider of custody and clearing services to financial professionals. Now, let's join the discussion with our very special guest, Jim Spiros. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dennis.
You've been a marketing leader at the bluest of the blue chip marketing companies, among them AT&T, Marsh McLennan, Ernst & Young, and now Fidelity. How has your prior experience at some of these firms worked to your advantage as you shape the future of the marketing message at Fidelity?
Well, I think in working with large blue chip, well-respected brands, you grow to appreciate the power of what a great brand can do and can be in the marketplace. But I also think that when you look at the size, the scale, the scope of those companies, you really get a breadth of experiences that is unmatched in most job experiences. And I've been very fortunate to work for some fabulous, you know, companies over my 35-year career. And I've learned a lot from each one. What it's like to work in a global environment, what it's like to work in diverse environments, what it's like to work against different market segments, and so on. And I feel it prepared me very well for almost anything I would encounter. I feel now that I'm so well prepared, there's almost nothing that can throw me off, because I've pretty much seen it all. And of course, there are occasional curveballs here and there, but for the most part, I think it's prepared me well for the job I have at Fidelity now.
You know, as we look back at the careers of folks who have been successful, as you know, whether we're in the recruiting business, frequently we talk about how someone has arrived at where they are today. And many times it'll come down to a mentor, someone that influenced their career, someone that influenced their way of thinking about the world. Who would that be for you?
It would have to be my father, first and foremost. My father was an immigrant from a little island called Rhodes, and he was a farmer as a young man, and immigrated here when he was 16 years of age. Didn't speak a word of English, didn't have any money in his pocket, and like many immigrants who came here, looked at America as the pot of gold at the other end of the rainbow where you could literally make a better life for yourself and for your family. My dad was a very simple man, very mild-mannered as well. And when I was 8 years old, he sat me on his lap and he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "The most important thing I've given you in your life is your name, Spiros, and don't you ever forget it." Now, at 8 years of age, you know, of course, your father starts screaming and yelling at you. You have no idea what you did wrong. I run off his lap, I go into my room, and I'm crying terribly for about an hour. I come out, I'm still sobbing, and he says nothing to me. Roll forward 10 years, I'm 18 years old now, I'm about to go to college, and I went to Baruch College here in Manhattan, and we're walking down the street together, and he puts his arm around me, and he says, "Son, now that you're going into college, I want you to know how proud I am of you. You're the first Spiros to ever go to college." And he gives me a big hug and a kiss, and I do the same back. And he says, "Do you remember 10 years ago, I yelled and screamed at you about our name?" And I said, "Pop, you scared the hell out of me. Why did you do that?" He said, "Now that you're going into college," and this is in his words, he said, "I know you're going to be a big man someday." And he said, "Anytime you sign our name on a document or anything, I want you to bring pride and honor to that work, because it reflects on me, on my father, and every generation of Spiros who came before us. So always bring pride and honor to our name. So when people ask me what was the biggest influence in my life, I learned a lot in business, I learned a lot in school, but the notion of always bringing pride and honor to the work that you do and making sure it's the best it can be has probably done more for me my whole life than anything I've learned anywhere.
Well, that's a story that I think many of us can resonate with, but the fact of the matter is it stuck with you all your life and probably was a great guide for your success.
Yeah, so he was a great wonderful man story. And a simple man, a great philosopher in many ways. I still remember many of his expressions.
The idea of delivering value to people, I think, is inherent in that theme. The value of doing the right thing, the value of integrity. Using that as a basis for the next question, Fidelity has a reputation for doing the right thing, for having value, for having integrity. Talk to us about the customer experience at Fidelity and what that means to consumers.
Well, the Fidelity brand, I think, at its core stands for trust and integrity, and that is really embedded in the culture across every single employee in the company. And it starts with the Johnson family who founded this wonderful company and who built a culture, you know, founded on integrity and trust and honesty and doing the right thing. And that permeates the culture of Fidelity. Every interaction, you know, as we think about customers and the kinds of things we do, we try to provide great guidance, superior investment choices, exceptional service, and great value. Those are the sort of pillars that we work to deliver day in and day out. Guidance, investment choice, great value, and exceptional service. And if you talk to just about any one of our customers, they'll always tell you what a wonderful experience they've had from a service perspective, how people spend time with them to answer their questions, how they feel like we care. And we do care because every employee knows that what we do matters in the lives of people. You know, we're helping people save for retirement. We're the number one retirement provider in the United States. We're helping people save for their college educations. So, you know, what we do matters. It's not a trivial job, and people look to us for guidance and navigation and help.
Clive?
Yeah, I'd like to move on to some of the work that your company's been doing, Jim. As we look at the Green Line program, clearly it's been very successful for you, and it's become synonymous with the brand, I mean, almost an iconic symbol. I know there's a story behind this. Tell us the story about how you came up or how the group came up with that campaign, and then why is it resonating so well with consumers?
Well, I joined Fidelity in August of 2008, and of course, Fidelity does an enormous amount of market research to ferret out consumer insights. And after looking at all of the research, the core insight that we gleaned from all of the research was that people wanted more guidance, more navigation, more help with their finances. So that was the sort of core of the insights from just reams and reams of research. And of course, what a good marketer has to do is you have to synthesize all of that to get down to the core nugget of what you're trying to communicate to the market. And literally, as I was driving home one night, poring over this research in my head, I'm looking at my GPS system in the car, and I said, that's the idea. What if we could get people to think of us as their financial GPS system through life, a guide and a navigator? So I brought that back to our creative teams, both to our in-house agency, Fidelity Communications and Advertising, and our external partner agency, Arnold Worldwide. And we asked them to have a go at expressing that, because once you have the idea, then you need to think about how you express it. And they came up with a variety of ideas, but the one that I thought was the strongest was the simplest, which was the green line, which serves as the metaphor for guidance and navigation, much like you'd see in a GPS system. And from that, the tagline grew out, which was "Turn Here," which was both a literal expression, much the same way you would get in a GPS system, but also a command to turn to Fidelity for guidance and navigation. So that is, in essence, it's no more complicated than, you know, consumer insight, you know, coming up with the idea and then coming up with a brilliant expression of that idea visually.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned in this explanation of the Green Line program is the in-house agency that you manage and lead, and that's Fidelity Communications and Advertising, FCA. And it's our recollection that FCA was honored very recently by an outside group as being the agency, the in-house agency of the year. What factors, both professionally and personally, do you think contributed to that recognition, and why do they do such special work?
Well, one, you know, as I shared the story about my dad, I think our people take great pride in their work, and they know that I care about doing great work, not just doing good work, but doing great work. And you can't mandate great work, but we cultivated a culture of creativity, of people being able to express themselves and to have the courage to stand up for ideas. And also just this notion of how I think of creativity, which is eclectic thinking. A good idea can come from anyone in any part of the organization. It may happen when you're in the shower. It may happen when you're in the car. It may happen in a boardroom where you pick up on a little nugget or an insight. And it's in the how you put that together and how you express it, you know, that's the magic of creativity. So we have great people that, you know, we're constantly thinking about new ways to express the Green Line. You know, we try to be very open and receptive to new ideas.
Now, our research showed that you guys do 13,000 programs or thereabouts across 30-some-odd business units of Fidelity. How does an in-house group like FCA maintain its strategic edge and creative edge while it still has charged with executing so many programs?
Yeah, well, execution is everything. You know, at the end of the day, you know, intent is one thing. It's nice, but execution is everything. So I think, you know, we also have a culture that's built on getting things done. We're an in-house agency, which has to support over 30 businesses inside of Fidelity, as you mentioned, and each of those businesses has unique needs. So we operate just like any other agency. We have an account structure. The account people have to deeply understand the issues and needs of each business. They have to be able to articulate that back simply to the creative teams in the form of a creative brief, ultimately, you know, that results in work, and you have to do it in very rapid fashion. We just have a culture. We have a high-velocity culture. There's no question about it. So it's all about great work and execution and then monitoring results, because there needs to be that closed-loop system. And we learn. We do a lot of test and learn. We're not always perfect. And I often define risk as jumping off a cliff and building your wings on the way down, right? So we all have to be willing to take some risks. And in taking some of those risks, in some cases, as you're building your wings, you do a great job and you soar. And in other cases, you may limp to the bottom, you know, as you try to build the other wing. But you're never going to achieve anything great unless you're willing to take some risk and have the courage to try some new things. So we learn from our mistakes and we move on from there.
Jim, you might have seen me smile as you were talking about execution as everything. We were presenting to Heineken a few years ago to the CMO, and they were great ideas. And all of a sudden, he jumped up, banged the table, and he said, "I'm not short of great ideas." He said, "I'm short of great ideas executed well in the marketplace."
Right.
And so I had to smile as you said that. If we look at the financial services industry, you know, obviously being highly regulated and still is today, very reliant traditionally on direct mail to communicate to its existing customers, and even from an acquisition perspective, is with the growth of digital, social, all of that, how's that changing the roadmap and the marketplace for financial services?
Yeah, I think most of the financial services companies have embraced social and digital media to varying degrees. We spend over a third of our budgets now in the digital space. You know, we're big proponents of the social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Our online presence, you know, has to be impeccable and work flawlessly. Mobile platforms, you know, we were one of the first advertisers on the iPad. We have apps, you know, for tablet devices and Android devices and so on. So we've embraced digital as a way to engage consumers in a dialogue very often. Today, you know, the old way of looking at markets was to wait quarter by quarter and see what kind of feedback you get. Well, feedback is instantaneous now on the web. So the social media are often a better tool at figuring out what's going on in the market than longitudinal market research that takes a quarter to find out what's happened. You know instantly if you've done something well or poorly, and you can see it spread on the net. So I think today's CMO, today's CEO, has to be very, very conscious of what people are saying and doing, you know, in these various digital platforms.
Now, it's possible I misinterpreted this, but I was watching a commercial last night, and it was a young lady who had an iPad application, and she was talking about her how she was formulated that or was participating in the formulation of that.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a number of spots that are running right now. We call them our Hidden Gems series, where we have a series of exciting new tools and things that we're bringing to the market, specifically for the expert investor or the active trader, if you will.
Right.
And that segment of the population is very much into, you know, the latest tools, research, and insights in the marketplace. So the young woman you saw was actually one of the people who helped develop the iPad 2 application, and that is a great tool for the active trader.
I'd like to just pop back quickly to what you said about social media, Jim. Clearly it shows that you guys are listening, that Fidelity are listening and monitoring what's happening out there. Are you finding that you're able to act on that insight in a relative real-time manner as you do that?
I mean, I think that, you know, one of the biggest challenges today is that we have so much data. It's making sense of data. And so being able to look at trends that are emerging in the social media and the press and in other places and putting that together and quickly responding to what you're seeing, you know, I think is critical to this whole notion of executing with excellence and with speed. So social media are a great tool for us. We use it as a distribution tool where we have material that's been legally reviewed and is compliant and can be shared across the net. Our customers, our prospects appreciate it. We have a very loyal fan base who follows us regularly, and people who tweet and retweet content that we've pushed out. Social media is a great tool for us.
You've been listening to Inside the Brand After Dark, and today we're talking to Jim Spiros, the Chief Marketing Officer of Fidelity Investments. Clive?
The investment community is presently under fire, you know, from a variety of public and private sectors. Now, how is Fidelity maintaining its reputation and continuing to build trust with investors and the online trading community?
Well, we track our trust levels very closely, and I can tell you that Fidelity is number one the number one most trusted brand in the category. And we work hard to maintain that position. And again, I think it's predicated on the fact that the company has always believed in doing the right thing. We were not tarnished during any of the financial scandals mm-hmm. that occurred in the industry. It's unfortunate what we've seen, but I think throughout it all, the Fidelity brand has maintained, you know, a very high level of trust with investors. And we do it, you know, in the old-fashioned way. We work to earn it every single day by doing the right thing.
In terms of, you know, considering the wild gyrations in the financial market of late, what roles does marketing and consumer communication play at Fidelity, you know, to calm the fears that many of the customers or consumers have out there, especially those, you know, getting closer to retirement age? Obviously, many of them, depending on their investment strategy, have taken some fairly large hits and seen, you know, every day in the press we see news of this happening, that happening, and that there. How is Fidelity working to kind of differentiate and keep out of that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, no one can predict what will happen in the markets. So there's always, you know, some level of risk that all investors take on, regardless of the guidance that they've received from any advisor in the marketplace. However, I think the most important thing that we do is provide guidance and navigation during good and bad times in the marketplace. And that guidance and navigation is critically important, particularly in this current environment that we're in, because it's so volatile. So very often, just having a conversation with a customer and helping them think through the options they have and the risks associated with each option, you know, becomes our way of demonstrating this notion of being a helpful guide and navigator through good and bad times.
So it seems like content and advice are key parts
content,
of that.
Content, guidance is critical during good and bad times. I would argue even more important mm-hmm. when we're going through the kind of difficult economic period we're going through right now.
Great.
Jim, I want to go back to the FCNA organization. Obviously doing great work, obviously doing work that resonates with consumers. But it's our sense that you also, from time to time, go to outside agencies to work with those firms. Specifically, what kinds of profiles and skill sets and assets do you look for in those outside resources?
Yeah, we have a few external resources that we use. We work with Arnold Worldwide. Primarily on our television advertising. We work with MPG on our media buys, and we work with Media Contacts on our digital buys. So those three groups are the core of our external relationships, although we do supplement in specific areas. And we also bring in freelancers from time to time into our own shop. But you know, in answer to your question, Dennis, I think that, you know, what we look for in any agency relationship, whether it's my own agency in-house or externally, is we look for passionate people, you know, who come up with brilliant ideas and know how to execute them superbly, and are willing to be held accountable for those activities.
Part of the challenge of running an organization like FCNA, I would think, is the ability to find and evaluate and locate great talent. There's a land grab for talent out there. Every agency in this neighborhood is looking for great talent, folks that can come up with breakthrough thinking and ideas. Tell us about some of the challenges of locating, retaining, and growing talent in an in-house agency.
Yeah, I think the challenge within any in-house agency in particular is making sure people feel like they're doing cutting-edge work and that they're learning. I think that's the main thing, because there's a certain amount of doing the same thing over and over again. And perhaps unlike traditional external agency where a person may work on numerous accounts and get exposure to a lot of different ideas and creative approaches, you know, you do run the risk of becoming stagnant unless you're constantly injecting the group with new projects and new ideas that might be outside of what they do day in and day out. So what we try to do is infuse, infuse the groups with new work and new projects that they don't ordinarily work on, just to stimulate new thinking. So a lot of the work that we do in advertising, if you'll notice it, is highly contextual, and it really forces people to stretch and think differently about how you express the green line. So, for example, what might the green line look like in a golf magazine? Well, it might show you the direction on a putting green. What might the green line look like on Valentine's Day? It might talk about how much we love our customers on Valentine's Day. So in other words, infusing the group with assignments that aren't just the normal day in and day out, but giving them some stretch creative assignments, I think helps. The other thing we do is we bring in freelancers periodically. We don't staff at 100% because our volumes go up and down. We're supporting a lot of businesses, and we have to look at utilization rates, you know, across the agency. So from time to time, we bring in freelancers. Those freelancers, too, inject new ideas and new ways of thinking about our business, whether it's in the digital platforms or the traditional platforms.
Now, Jim, anyone who's listened to Inside the Brand After Dark knows that we always end with a very, very challenging question to our guest, right? And knowing you for a number of years, I actually deferred to my partner, my business partner, Norman Sherman, who came up with this question. So I'm going to ask the question on our behalf, okay?
Okay.
Years from now, when the pundits look back at the Great Recession, what do you think they'll be saying about Fidelity?
I think what they'll say about Fidelity is that it was a company that stayed true to its cultural values of integrity and trust, and tried to help people weather the storm. That we weren't just there for them in good times, but we were also there for them, you know, when things may have been somewhat darker in the economy.
Jim, thank you very much. We've been listening to Inside the Brand with Jim Spiros, Chief Marketing Officer of Fidelity Investments. I want to thank my co-host, Clive McLean, CEO of Euro RSCG Discovery, and we'll see you next time on Inside the Brand.